On behalf of our pastor and the entire church family here at Buggles Chapel Baptist Church, we want to say thank you very much for watching our channel. We pray that every video you see here brings your heart great joy and gives you encouragement to have a closer walk with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that you will answer to His conviction, repent of your sins, and allow Him to move on your heart and show you the blessings of life He has promised. God bless you, your family, your loved ones, and may God do great things in your life.
Some of you are very familiar with in the book of 1 John. Those of you that are not, I encourage you to do this. Go to the book of 1 John. There's 5 chapters. Take a highlighter, and everywhere you see the word or a form of the word, meaning knowledge or K-N-O-W, a form of the word knowledge has K-N-O-W in it. Go to 1 John. Everywhere in 1 John you see the word know highlighted all the way through all 5 chapters in the King James Bible, that is. Go back to chapter 1, starting reading in verse 1, and read through it, and you'll realize that in 1 John 5:13 it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know." That's in chapter 5, verse 13. Well, once you realize He wrote that book to us so that we can know. And then you go back to chapter 1 and start reading all those verses. Now, that same method, if you would come to 2 Peter, and starting in chapter 1, look, I want to point out to you, if you wanted to do this, you can take a pencil and circle all of these things I'm fixing to identify to you in these 3 short chapters. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things." You can circle all things. Verse 8, "For if these things be in you," circle these things, "but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off." Verse 10, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." If it's something I can do, that He says, it'll make me neither barren nor unfruitful, it'll make me never fall, I want to know what these things are. Don't you, Brother Jim? I want to know. Wait a minute. Hey, this is absolutely the ultimate prescription by God Himself that says, here are the things that you need to do. How many times have you ever said growing up, I remember when I first started really getting a hunger for the Word of God, I knew some verses, I knew I was saved, but I literally looked at those 66 books and I thought, man, that's a lot of book to understand. I mean, it was just overwhelming. Now, years later, I feel like I've got a comprehension of it, but then I look up and realize there's still a lot more to go. However, these things, let me keep pressing on. Verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." You can circle that. Verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." And you would think to yourself, or I would be like, for crying out loud, what are these things? I want to know them. I mean, if it's that important, I want to know them. Go back to verse number, wherefore, verse 5. "And besides this, giving all diligence." So the very first part, or the base, if you would, is faith. And that's what he's dealing with in verse 3 and 4. "We've been given exceeding great and precious promises." Those exceeding great and precious promises are those things, literally. Think about it like this, if that helps you. God has he has the ultimate cell phone. And he sits here and he's typed us out 66 books worth of message. And he says, "He has given me an exceeding great and precious promise. Now that I've got it, now I'm going to flip over here and I'm going to read the text that God sent me." Because, see, that's what we ought to realize. Every one of us have friends, right, on my friends page. Or on your phone, you've got contacts, right? And when somebody's texts you, it pops up there and I know that Gary preached it. "Hey, Gary, Brother Gary sent me this. Let me see what it is." And I scan through it and I read it. Do you realize when we open God's Word, if He's given us exceeding great and precious promises, When you open your Bible and open it up, bing, it's like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, guys, you got to hold up a minute. God sent me this. And it's got God at the top. It's got Jehovah. And it's like, wait a minute. He sent me a text. And I've got it right here in written form. That's exceeding great and precious promises. The promises are His word. Those promises that He sent me, in verse number 4, He says He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So in other words, that's the beginning of these things. So He says, all right, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the only way that I could have faith in Jesus is for somebody to tell me about Jesus. Right. Well, how did they know about Jesus? The word of God has it written down. And they can show me about Him, and therefore, faith is the beginning. That's why it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. Or in Titus 3:5, He says that it says that it's by faith, not by works of righteousness we've done, but by grace through faith He saved me. But that's not the end. You don't get there, you're like, well, I got that done. I got faith now. I'm good. And He said, no, son, you ain't done. You only got started. Are you kidding? Wait a minute. I thought that's all I had to do to be saved. Oh, it is to be saved. But if you're going to have a victorious Christian life, there's a lot more you got to add to this thing.
Right.
And you're like, well, what do I do? And He says, well, that's where these things come in. He says, and besides this, give all diligence. Diligence means give everything you've got. Colossians 3.23, second verse ever memorized, John 3.16 was the first. Colossians 3.23 says, for whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as if it was unto the Lord, not unto man. That word heartily is diligence. Diligence, heartily, everything you've got, put it all into it. There is not a sport one that if you were to play it, and you literally had to try out to make the team, right? All of a sudden, I've made the team. If you go out there and you go out and give a half-hearted effort, you're going to be riding a pine, Jack. That means that's nomenclature terms for baseball or softball or whatever else that says you're going to be sitting on the bench. All right. So why? Why would I sit on the bench? Because I didn't give everything. And God says, with all diligence, everything you've got, add to your faith virtue. Virtue means a stick-to-itiveness, a seriousness. Realize this ain't no joke, Jack. I mean, this is serious. I mean, and He literally intensifies the seriousness when He gets to the end of chapter 3. It says, for what manner of persons ought you to be, knowing these things are going to happen? This isn't a joke. This is serious. And if this is serious, man, we got to step it up. Man, we got to go get some kids. We got to get some electronic sources. We got to broadcast this. We got to make sure everybody knows Jesus is coming. Amen. Because just because it ain't happened yet don't mean it ain't going to.
Amen.
It's going to happen. We got to have diligence. And it's good that I have faith, but I can't just dust off my hands and think I'm done. He says, oh, no. Add to your faith diligence. And He goes on and He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, seriousness, the virtue knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? Studying my Bible. Again and again and again and again and again and again. And you study and you read and you study and you read. And every time you read the same chapter, something else will come out. And I'm like, how did I never see that before? How did I never see that? Do you know there's some things? Let me think what the word is. Not supernatural. Subconscious. There is some things that your subconscious... Okay, let me give you an example. Right? 99% of the time, I don't listen to secular music. What's the 1%? The 1% is if I'm at a rodeo and they're playing it, or if I go in a store and they're playing it, or out on the job site where I'm at right now at the farm, I've got carpenters come in or or block masons or whoever else comes in, or roofers, and they'll bring a radio and I'll hear it. Now, most of the time it's all Hispanic stuff. I can't hear it. I don't even know what it says anyway. And I'm like, jeez, that's like a blessing. But here's the thing. It'll be something I heard 50 years ago. I won't even pay any attention. I'll go in the store, get what I need to get, run back out. I'm driving down the road, and I'm not even going to come up with one because it'll stick in your mind. That's how your subconscious will work. If I was to pitch out something right now, you'd remember. Your subconscious works that way. And my wife will say, where in the world did you hear that? And I'll say, I don't know. And I'll get to thinking, and I'm like, I remember. It was in that store. It was playing. When I wasn't listening for it, my subconscious just picked it up. Here's my point. When you read your Bible and you absorb these exceeding great and precious promises, I'm telling you, there will be some times that my subconscious picks up on things that I didn't even see. And the Holy Spirit literally will reach down there and pull it back. I'll give you one of them. Has to do with our message this morning. Here's one of them that I just looked it up just a minute ago, and I thought, does it really say that? Because I thought, I've got this perception that it says that. You know how that the men on the boat, on the ship Jonah was on, the one he got through off of, and the great storm, and it was tempestuous storm, and it was, you know how they knew he was running from God? Anybody remember? He told them. And that just come back to me, and I thought, nah, surely it don't say that. Sure enough, in chapter 1 of the book of Jonah, it says they knew he was running from God because he told them. Well, that wasn't something that like I absorbed and I just knew. It was something I think that my subconscious, like, it just grasped. And it was like, it was so subtle that it just like laid there. And then when I needed it, the Lord brought that back to my remembrance. And I go back there and I look it up and go to chapter 1, and it was like, I'll be. He had told him. You know what he was doing? He was bragging about it. I'll tell you what, I showed him. I showed God. I showed him. He wanted me to go over that bunch of heathen Ninevites. I showed him. I ain't going over there. I'm doing it my way. Oh, yeah. Let me know how that works for you. Let me know how that works for you, because I'm telling you, those exceeding great and precious promises are the very same promises it tells us. And I'm not camping out on the message. I'll refrain. But there is a repercussion for our disobedience. That's serious. And then he goes on, and let me press through him. He says, knowledge, temperance. All right, so knowledge comes from studying the Word of God. And even the things that you don't retain, God will bring back and he'll show you. Add to knowledge, temperance. The root word in that is temper. Temperance. Let me think for a second. Mom always used to, she would take a spoon and stick it into a boiling pot. After she had turned the stove off, it's boiling, she'd stick a spoon in there. And I'm like, what are you doing? She said, I'm tempering it. And I'm like, what? Some of you that deal with steel, you know that you can harden steel or you can weaken steel. All right? The harder it gets, the more brittle it is and the weaker it is. All right? So that's the temperance, tempered steel. That's the thing. This word tempered for us literally means our temperance. It literally means our maintaining.
Self-control.
Yeah, so self-control. There's a self-control that has to be there. Add your faith, all right? Virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. Patience, where does patience come from? The trials of faith work with patience. Trials don't work patience. Don't get that confused. The trials of faith work with patience. Well, what's the difference, Brother Aaron? Let me explain this. This is a big nugget, okay? The trials of faith means God has said something. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. All ye that are weak and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. That's a verse. That's an exact quote from Scripture that God says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. And you come to him, now that you've given it to him, now we've got to wait. That waiting is patience. Why am I waiting? Because it's a trial of my faith. What is my faith? I believe that God can, in his time, do what he said he's going to do. It's not always like that. Sometimes the trial of my faith worketh patience. It's not trials. It's the trial of my faith. The question is, do I really believe that he can? You hear me quote often Hebrews 11:6 because it's so important. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I've got to have faith, because he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I've got to believe that he is, and he can, and he will. But I've got to have patience, because it don't always happen like that. And it's like I shared in the prayer book, the answered prayer this morning. You know, Brother Larry's better, Wiley's better, and I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for hearing those prayers.
Amen.
There was a time, if you would have been mom and dad sitting there looking at your baby, we got to do something. We got to do, but here's the thing. What are you going to do? I can't fix him. No, but God can. That's why we've got all these calls. Hey, we need to be praying for this baby. We got to pray. Why in the world would you want to pray about it? Because God says that's the only thing you can do to fix it.
Yeah.
Now, there was a trial. There were several days there that it was on eggshells, touch and go. Now, the trials of your faith works patience. So that the next time something like that comes up, guess what? Our faith is grown, it's strengthened. Yeah. So that, how many times have you said, look, hey, over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Hey, the quartet sings that, by the way. You see, there's so many songs they sing that literally, in the application of the things that we do, it's like, hey, wait a minute, there's a song about that. Hey, wait a minute, you know why the songwriter wrote that song? Because he learned over and over, again and again, God's faithful.
Amen.
And that's the thing. The trials of my faith work with patience. Real quickly, he says, add to your faith knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness. Godliness literally is holiness, righteousness, true, pure, clean. All of those, same word, literally synonyms, all right? Godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which we know the Greek word there is love. Agape love. You see, all of those things have to be there to get to that ultimate part that it has to have. And that's love. All right? And that love that he accomplishes. Now, that's when we can go in to the verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, man, what is he? He's blind, he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged or cleansed from his old sins. He that doesn't have these, he's blind. He's a blind leading the blind. He ain't got a shot. Why? Because he's forgotten. You ever heard it said before? Now, when you get back, if you're trying to climb that ladder, when you get on up there pretty high, don't forget all us little people. Right? Because that's what happens. You know, you get so big, you forget. Man, I remember what it was like to come in and sit in a pew and my pastor get up and preach and me walk out thinking, I ain't got a clue what that cat was talking about. I didn't. And it wasn't because he was a bad preacher. It's just I wasn't scripturally understood and studied enough. Well, wait a minute. You know what I wasn't adding to my faith? Virtue. You know what I wasn't adding to the virtue? Knowledge. Because if I had been, it would have made me that I was neither barren nor unfruitful in the Scriptures. Now, let me give you the rest of those. Verse 15, moreover, I endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Chapter number 2. There is no these things because he's warning us of the false teachers all the way through. Chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What does that mean? Well, you literally can think all these things meaning the world. Well, if even the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Guess what? These very things will be gone too. Why? Because the church will be gone. And when the church is gone, these things will be gone with them. Do you think there's going to be anything kind and decent and loving and gentle? No. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to be gone. The church is going to be gone. And it literally will be a free-for-all that's left. Verse 14, chapter 3. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. And then verse 16. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. What does that mean? Think about that verse. This will lead us into this morning's message. Be careful lest you fall from your own steadfastness. You know what's easy? Here's what's easy. That you be focused and fired up. And I mean, son, you're studying, you're praying, you're witnessing. I mean, I'm telling you, you just feel like he's as close as a mention of his name. And he's just wrapped. Man, you can feel his arms on you. It feels like you're John the Beloved leaning on his breast at supper. And he's just right there. And then all of a sudden, God says, be careful. Why? Why, Lord? And he says, well, because there's things that can happen. And if you push these things aside, you will fall from your own steadfastness. You were being steadfast. You were abounding in the work of the Lord. You were focused. You were pressing toward that mark of the high prize. Prize of the high calling of God. And man, you had your hands to the plow, the reins on your shoulders, but you began to lack these things. And now that you do, you have fallen from your own steadfastness. Man, I hope that if we have fallen from our steadfastness, and I'll close with this illustration. I heard this years ago, and I've shared it several times over the years. If there was a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are right now, this is to all of us, then if there was a time in our life we were closer to God than we are right now, we're backslidden. We have fallen from our own steadfastness. And God is saying, hey, what manner of person ought you to be knowing these things? Yep. These things. Think about that this evening, this morning, rather. Because I'm telling you, it's sometimes that it's amazing what we don't even realize, and then God knows the whole time, and when it's mentioned, we remember and think, wait a minute, there was a time in my life I was closer. What am I lacking? These things.